wasn't the gore or the carnage, but the coming home after it. That sense of never being able to go back to whatever you were before. Something about that depressed the hell out of me, making my stomach twist up into my throat, and yes, goddammit, forcing me to tear up. I don't know what the hell was wrong with me that day. I mean, I'm not saying I have a problem with crying, necessarily, but it's not something I really want to be doing in front of everybody. Still, the situation could have been totally fine, given how the lights were all out. I would have gotten away with it easy if it weren't for Francine. There I was, about to wipe my eyes with the back of my jacket sleeve, when she somehow dropped her eraser, a rounded piece of rubber made to look like a California roll, and it came tumbling back toward my sneaker. She turned around to check where it went, and that's when she saw me. For a second, neither of us moved. She blinked, her stare blank and penetrating at the same time. A sliver of afternoon light escaped from beneath the drawn shades behind us and cut across her nose. Her eyes were completely dry. I leaned over in a hurry to retrieve her goddamn eraser, but really it was so I could swipe my arm over my face to hide the fact that I'd been low-key bawling. I handed the sushi roll to her without making eye contact, and she accepted it wordlessly before swiveling back around, the end credits filling the projector screen and the weird space that suddenly swelled around us. I figured that would be it, that we'd go back to barely acknowledging each other, despite the fact that I'd sat behind her for months and recently noticed that her hair, stick straight and cut off at the shoulder, smelled kind of nice, like the tea tree oil shampoo I use on my dog, Dexter. Francine, however, was sitting very still in her seat, as if contemplating something. And then, in an abrupt about-face, she reached into her backpack and produced a travel-sized packet of tissues, which, to my utter mortification, she offered to me. Desperate to avoid calling more attention to this sorry situation, I did the first thing that came to mind. I took a tissue. Anything to speed up this interaction, I reasoned. Anything. But as I silently blew my nose, watching Francine refasten the flap over the tissue packet and squirrel it back into her bag, I allowed that she was just trying, in her well-meaning but unnecessary way, to be helpful. When she darted a last glance at me before facing frontward again, I think I must have given her one of those throwaway smiles, the kind that isn't supposed to mean anything to normal people. The kind that, unfortunately, did mean something to Francine.
2. Francine. Ollie Tran has a dimple on his left cheek when he smiles. But that isn't why I'm asking him to help me with the plan. There are lots of reasons. Real ones. Though some are harder to explain than others. The discussion, however, is not off to a great start. The deer hunter, I blurt out, because it's the first thing that comes to mind when Ollie looks at me, clearly puzzled. I want to ask you about the deer hunter. Ollie scrunches his eyebrows together like I'm speaking a foreign language and takes a step back, small enough to remain polite, but big enough to say, "Can you maybe not?" We're standing in front of his locker, which, conveniently, is just a few columns over from mine. The blessing of alphabetical propinquity has always meant that wherever Ollie is, I'm never too far behind. For years, I used to swoon over this, the fact that Tran was close enough to Zhang that sometimes, if a class was small, there could be no one between us at all. But it's been a while since I let myself care about that.
What about the deer hunter?
Ollie asks, even though it seems like he'd rather not hear the answer. Well, I noticed it made you cry. I think back to that afternoon. Like, kind of a lot. Ollie's face goes pink.
I don't know if it was a lot.
What's your definition of a lot?
Okay, I'm gonna just go.
Ollie points two fingers off to the side and scoots away. As I watch him zigzag between the sun-beaten lunch tables, nearly tripping over a hydrangea bush to hasten his escape, it occurs to me that maybe I could have approached this differently. But I hadn't talked to Ollie in so long.